Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and I've been telling you, especially you gals, that this show today is really going to be giving us some eye-opening details and information about wellness in a level that most of us wouldn't even give 5 cents of time thinking about. What is that? It's the thyroid. My guest today is Mary J. Shulman, and her book is The Menopause Thyroid Solution. Welcome to the show, Mary.
Thank you, Donna. It's a pleasure to be on.
Now, I met you last year at Teresa Tapp's retreat, and you did a program at that retreat talking about menopause and the thyroid situation. I was so intrigued with this because I have had a very, very dear friend of many years discover just recently that there was a genetic patterning for a malfunctioning thyroid that she inherited from her mother. Her mother, who is now in her 70s, just found out about this, and she's had all kinds of physical symptoms for years, and the tests that came back were sort of normal. And then my girlfriend, she said, Donna, I found out about it by doing some research because something was very, very wrong, and yet everything was coming out supposedly fine. And so she researched, and lo and behold, she goes into the doctor and said, I think you should check for this. She had to tell the doctor because the doctor didn't have a clue. Now, that's not putting doctors down because they're not educated about this either. How did you get involved with this, Mary? What brought this to your attention, because your book is loaded with details and information?
Thank you. Well, I got involved in the issue of thyroid disease because I myself was diagnosed back in 1995 with Hashimoto's disease, which is the autoimmune disease that causes an underactive thyroid or hypothyroidism. And at that time, I really didn't know anything about the thyroid. My doctor said, well, I'll call a prescription in for you, and no problem, that's going to be the end of it. And it really turned out to be just the beginning of it for me, because what I learned was that the thyroid was controlling every facet of my body's functioning and physiology, and just having a prescription called in and starting on the pill didn't necessarily resolve all of the issues that I was going through. So I started to research and share what I could find with other people on the Internet, which at that point was very slow, and there was just a few people kind of getting together to talk about thyroid issues. And eventually I got into starting up a website and then started to write books as well. And it eventually led to my becoming what would be called a patient advocate for thyroid patients. It certainly wasn't something I set out in the beginning to become when I was a little kid, but it's something that I've evolved into over time.
You bring out a number of points of information, and I'm just going to touch on a few here because this is affected by so many variables. And, of course, we're all going to be living a lot longer than what our ancestors did. I mean, I was talking to someone just yesterday who's 89 years old, or 89 years young, really, and we were discussing this very thing. She said all of her, you know, most of her family has passed away, and there's just a number of situations. And she said, I'm just amazed. I'm still going like the Energizer Bunny at 89, and she could easily end up living to be well over 100, which in a million years, she never thought that that would be the case because of her ancestors, her mother and her grandmother and her grandfather and, you know, all of this. She didn't expect to be able to live this long, but we have so many things going for us. So a lot of these things that we're coming to an awareness of are because we are living longer, correct?
Absolutely. And certainly the discussion of things like menopause and thyroid in particular, because we're now really becoming much more in tune with hormones. It used to be that discussing our hormones and discussing some of the issues that caused fatigue or depression or weight changes was really taboo. A lot of people really didn't want to discuss these things in public, and a lot of the issues of hormones in women were really kind of hidden or maybe talked about very behind closed doors by women privately. But it's definitely getting out in the public now, and people are beginning to understand the very important role that hormone health has in keeping us healthy throughout our adult life and well into our senior citizenhood.
One of the things that you bring, one of the many points that you bring out, is that if a woman is losing her hair, it's usually a sign of thyroid problems, not menopause. And dry skin is usually a symbol of the thyroid, not menopause. Go into that a little bit.
Well, these are symptoms that are very common for women that are in their late 40s and early 50s, and so many women who have symptoms like fatigue or weight changes or feeling a little bit brain foggy, sleep disruptions, mm-hmm. hair loss, all of these kinds of things, the automatic assumption is, oh, well, it must be perimenopause, or if they've stopped having periods, well, this must be menopause related. And the reality is that for a substantial percentage of women in this age range, these symptoms may not have anything to do with the drop in estrogen and progesterone that signals the onset of perimenopause and menopause, but may in fact be due to an undiagnosed thyroid issue, oftentimes an undiagnosed low thyroid or hypothyroid situation.
Now, let's talk about the difference in the terms that you've just used. You've used hyperthyroid, you've used low thyroid. Tell us the differences in these various levels, because you can go in and have a test, as my good friend did, and she was in what they call the normal range. But when she did her research, she was in what you'd call the high portion of the normal range.
Right.
And with the various symptoms that she was going through, she said, excuse me, this is not in the middle here. This is on the high end. Don't you think we should check this out? They did, and they found out she had a particular, and I do think, now that you mention it, that it was the hyperthyroid
mm-hmm.
situation. So let's talk about that for a minute.
Sure. Well, it's helpful for people to understand that the thyroid, which is our master gland of energy and metabolism, it's located in the neck. It's a tiny gland. It's about an ounce in size when it's normally sized, and it's located in the neck below and behind the Adam's apple area. And it produces the hormone that delivers energy and oxygen to all the cells in our body. And when it is not functioning properly, it typically produces one of two conditions, either an overactive thyroid where it's producing too much hormone, that's known as hyperthyroidism, or a situation where it is not producing enough hormone, or hypothyroidism, or sometimes referred to as low thyroid. And that's a situation where we're dealing with insufficient amounts of thyroid hormone. And because the thyroid hormone is delivering energy and oxygen to all the body's functions, when we don't have enough of it, we tend to see a general slowdown in everything from digestion to thinking to fatigue, weight gain, slower pulse. People will feel foggy and move slowly. They'll be puffy. They may be constipated. Whereas when someone is hyperthyroid, we see the opposite issue. We see things speeding up and moving too quickly. So we see people operating with diarrhea, insomnia, tremor, rapid weight loss. They may have anxiety or even panic attacks that come out of nowhere. And people can also feel very nervous, have hair loss, and, you know, feel shaky, jittery,
mm-hmm.
and very anxious.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say that holistic, and I'm quoting from your book, an integrative imbalance, you know, that the holistic and integrative approaches tend to look at the underlying autoimmune imbalance. I correct myself there. And may include nutritional support for the thyroid, which is selenium, tyrosine, B vitamins, etc., elimination of toxins and stress, and overall support for the immune system. Now, someone reading that or hearing that will say, oh, my goodness, there's so many things that say the exact same thing. How do you go about determining, because we do have so many symptoms that can fit so many different modalities. It's like they're copycat almost. So when you're dealing with a thyroid, let's say you go in, what kind of test are you supposed to go in for? If you're going in for, let's say, your annual physical, and your doctor says, well, how are you feeling? Say, well, I'm tired. Well, my goodness, so usually when they're over 40, most physicians' attitudes is, well, you're getting older, you know, you have this, that, or the other. And I know I'm generalizing, and perhaps I shouldn't. But I've heard this so many times that it's not even funny. And they'll say, well, as you get older, you're going to slow down a little bit. Well, that may be the case. But if you're going to go in for blood tests, going to a doctor so frequently is so impersonal. What do we need to know when we go in? What do we ask for in the way of tests? So if they send us to a lab, we know what we're going to be getting.
Well, I think one of the things that you need to be sure that you're asking for is a complete thyroid blood panel, and not just what's known as the TSH, or thyroid stimulating hormone test. Typically, if you ask your doctor for a thyroid test, most conventional doctors will do simply the TSH test, but that only is giving us a measure of what's going on at the pituitary gland level, as far as the brain's communication with the thyroid. To actually assess whether you have sufficient levels of circulating thyroid hormone, you would also want a free T4 and free T3 test, which gives us a sense of those actual circulating hormones, and also to determine if you, in fact, have autoimmune thyroid disease, which is the reason that the majority of people develop thyroid conditions, is this autoimmune issue. You also want to have a thyroid antibodies profile. So at minimum, TSH, free T4, free T3, and thyroid antibodies are what I would consider essential for someone to get properly diagnosed with, or in fact to rule out thyroid issues as a cause of their symptoms.
Now, if you go in and the test comes out like it did with my friend, where they say, well, we have the normal range, and I don't know what that is, but let's say it's maybe on the low side, or like my friend, it's on the high side. How then do you bring it to a doctor's attention? There may be something here that has to be taken care of, because they may figure that that's not a problem as long as it's within a certain parameter.
Right. Well, this is one of the challenges that a lot of people face, because we're dealing right now with a normal range for the TSH test, and that's the test that a lot of practitioners use as their sole decision point for diagnosing and treating thyroid. And we are dealing with a situation where half of the endocrinology world is using one normal range for TSH, and the other half is using a different range. So it depends on which doctor you're speaking with. If you go in and have a test done for TSH, the normal range used to run from about 0.5 to 5.0. So people were considered normal if their TSH fell within that range. If it were lower than 0.5, they would be considered possibly hyperthyroid, and higher than 5 would be considered hypothyroid. Well, experts came in a couple years ago and said, you know, this range is far too wide, and we really need to tighten it up so that pretty much anyone over 2.5 to 3 is technically going to be hypothyroid, or at least on the border and considered borderline or possibly hypothyroid. So we have millions and millions of Americans who are in that limbo between a TSH of about 2.5 to 5.0, who can go to one doctor and be told their thyroid is perfectly normal, and go across the hall to a different doctor who would say, oh, that is actually borderline hypothyroid, you might warrant some treatment. So people, really, the biggest tool that we have to deal with the situation is knowledge on the part of the patients, because we need to know the new ranges, the fact that more innovative practitioners are using these narrower ranges, and we need to be prepared to ask questions with the doctors and say, what range are you using as your normal? And if you're using the old range, why are you on the old range and not on the new, more recommended current numbers?
You have so many different sections in your book that make for very, very interesting reading. And for those of you listening, we're talking with Mary Shulman, The Menopause Thyroid Solution. Let's talk about some natural approaches with this, because more and more people are becoming educated. So here you find out maybe you've got a problem and you figure out what it is. And we want to be proactive in our own wellness as much as possible. I know there's a lot of people that don't like to go that route because that has not been their training, if you will. But for those people that want to be proactive and saying, all right, maybe some tests came back, I'm really thoughtful about medications, I'm highly sensitive to medicines, so what else could I do before I would go into that, if that's absolutely necessary? And you have a chapter on natural approaches. Tell us how you found out about these different components and, for example, like MECA.
Right. Well, I think the important point, I think, to clarify to people is really the extent of their thyroid problem. Because if you have a really significant thyroid issue, if you're very hyperthyroid or very hypothyroid, then most practitioners, even the most talented holistic and integrative practitioners that I've talked to over the last 15 years, will typically really include some conventional medications and therapies. Because when we're talking about profound hypothyroidism, it's a lot like diabetes in a way where we can't replace a missing hormone with natural substances. We have to come in with an actual hormone treatment, a prescription medication to replace the hormone that's missing. So we really look at trying to complement that with additional natural approaches if need be. The same thing with very profound hyperthyroidism. It can be a very dangerous situation to try to treat without medication, but using natural approaches can lower the need for the amount of medication and can help relieve additional symptoms. In people who are very borderline, if they're just mildly hypothyroid or mildly hyperthyroid, antibodies are not super elevated, the symptoms may be borderline, and there's a question in the part of the doctor as well as the patient whether or not it's really going to be something that needs to be aggressively treated with a prescription medication, then some people have found natural approaches to support their immune system, to support the thyroid can be helpful. So there we see people using supplements of selenium, in some cases if they're iodine deficient, a little bit of iodine in the diet or as a supplement may be helpful, B vitamins, the amino acid tyrosine, all of these may help nudge someone who's kind of on the edge of normal back into normal when it comes to the thyroid. When it comes to menopausal symptoms or perimenopausal symptoms in a woman in her 40s and 50s, one of my key issues that I want to see is that any woman suffering from symptoms that she assumes are menopause needs to get her thyroid checked first and make sure that the thyroid is balanced and optimized before she starts down the road of estrogen or progesterone or any of those other prescription hormones. They carry risks with them. They are really getting into additional medication, and when there are other options, first being get that thyroid sorted out. But if the thyroid is dealt with and treated and a woman is still struggling with some menopausal symptoms, that's where some of these amazing natural approaches can come in and help to balance out some of the menopausal symptoms. So, for example, I've written about Royal Maca in the book, and Royal Maca is a natural food product that comes from South America that has some history of adaptogenic properties, meaning that it can help balance out hormones without having an estrogenic effect in the body. And a lot of women have had very good success with it, relieving hot flashes and some of the menopausal symptoms that are not necessarily relieved when they have taken their thyroid treatment. I also talk quite at length about melatonin, which is a hormone that many of us are knowledgeable about from use for jet lag and sleep. But very low-dose melatonin also seems to, in some women, have an effect of helping to balance the hormones slightly, helping to enhance the thyroid conversion of T4 to T3, meaning the active hormone seems to be a little bit better produced, and women seem to sleep better, wake up with less morning depression and less morning brain fog. So those two supplements are kind of the most powerful ones that I've found really helpful for a lot of women that are struggling with hormone balance, the Royal Maca and the melatonin.
Well, you go into a great deal of detail in your book, which I think is terrific. Let's talk about something that I have been apprehensive about for a long time, and of course it doesn't sit well with me, and that is soy. And there are so many products anymore that have soy in it that unless you read the label, you don't realize what you're taking in. And there have been more and more reports coming out saying that Americans in general are just getting far too much of this. It's soy milk, it's soy this, it's soy that, it's soy the burgers, I mean, you name it. And it's overkill. And the emphasis has been, gee, this is what the Asians do. But the Asians don't consume it at the volume level that we do. Let's talk about this for a minute.
Oh, absolutely. I think you've hit on a really important point for a lot of people in the United States, and certainly a factor that we think may be contributing in some cases to some increase in thyroid issues, and that's the overconsumption of soy. I mean, there's certainly no reason that people shouldn't enjoy some soy as part of their diet, and certainly eating it the way the Asians do, which is as a condiment and not as a primary protein, really is, you know, has some health benefits and certainly can be fine part of the diet. But the problem I think that we have in the United States is that we think if a little bit is good, a whole lot more might even be better. And mm-hmm. so we have people that are going soy crazy. So they're doing soy powders, soy milk, smoothies, soy burgers, soy bars, edamame, tofu, tempeh, and they're having soy at every meal and every snack. And at that point, soy goes from being a food that can be healthy when consumed in moderation to acting like a hormone. It basically becomes a drug instead of a food. And so what we want to caution people is, number one, to avoid going soy crazy, because there's really not that much evidence that soy is a all-purpose health food as it's been promoted in the press. We know that it certainly is an option for people as a healthier protein source than some of the saturated fat in very high fat meats like red meat, for example. So it can substitute for red meat and help be a healthier part of the diet, but it doesn't really have any impact on menopausal symptoms for most women, and it doesn't seem to be a cancer preventative for most people as it's been touted in the past. So we really don't have a lot of reasons other than maybe to lower cholesterol or for nutritional balance to include soy in the diet except as a protein source. So people need to be careful not to overconsume it. And if you're going to eat it, you're going to want to eat it in smaller quantities and in the fermented form. So the tofu, the tempeh, miso, these are fine, but you don't want to do powders, pills, potions, and very high concentrated forms of soy that are processed forms. These are going to be the least healthy and the least beneficial, and they're going to be delivering the most punch in terms of hormone effect. So you want to try to stay away from some of those products.
Also, you mentioned using, if you're going to use soy, be sure that it's not genetically modified. Now, I know when it comes to certain granulated forms of soy, it'll say on the outside, not GMO, genetically
yes.
modified. So that is very important. Now, when you're buying it in the store, when you are getting it in the little squares, and there's different types of your soy products, how do you know whether that is genetically modified or not?
Well, you don't always know, and so that oftentimes means, you know, shopping at a store that has more information or that offers packaging that gives you information as to the genetically modified status of your soy products, because some of the more savvier companies that are processing soy products and selling them in some of the health food stores and things are now marking things as not being genetically modified. And so that's, I think, useful information. And if you're not finding it on the products that you're getting at the stores that you're shopping at, mention it to the stores. Tell them that you want to know about the genetic modification status of the soy products that you're getting through those stores, because the more consumers ask for that information, the more likely we're going to at least get it from the manufacturers, as well as, in some cases, encourage some of the manufacturers to stop using the genetically modified soy.
Well, it's a fascinating topic, and you go in to physical exercise. You have a wonderful section in there. Of course, one of my favorite people is Teresa Tapp, and she's been a guest on my show many times. And her exercise program, I just think, is phenomenal. How did you come to meet Teresa?
I came to meet Teresa because I started to get a lot of emails and contact from thyroid patients who were having tremendous success with the TTAP program, the exercise program that Teresa has created for people of all sizes. And I, you know, was hearing from people, they were saying they were losing inches, they were not feeling exhausted, and certainly thyroid patients, you know, we oftentimes are struggling with extra weight, we are tired, so we don't have the energy to be as athletic and as fit maybe as other people in some cases, and oftentimes people with autoimmune diseases that are causing thyroid problems may also have joint and muscle aches and pains and feel a little bit creaky about tackling more intensive exercise. So when I was hearing that people were doing TTAP, they were getting results, they were losing inches, they were losing weight, and they were not ending up flat on their back on the couch for 2 days after every exercise session, I felt like I needed to explore it further. And so I tried TTAP myself, had tremendous results with it myself, got to know Teresa, and really was so impressed with her scientific and physiologic approach to creating an incredibly effective exercise program. And she's come up with some specialized exercises that really do help with balancing blood sugar, balancing some of the hormones, and strengthening the core, and in many cases detoxing, which I think is also helpful for thyroid patients. So I think that the TTAP program is really an ideal exercise program for a lot of women with thyroid disease, and so I always encourage people to explore it as a possible option if they're looking for an exercise program.
I wanted to ask you, we're talking about women here because we're talking about menopause. Do men have the, are women more inclined to go through a thyroid problem than men?
Yes. Statistics are that anywhere from 7 to 10 times more likely to affect women than men. But that doesn't mean that men don't develop thyroid conditions, and they do. And in fact, as men get older, it becomes even more common. So by the age of around 70, I think about 1 in 5 men will have some form of thyroid issue, whereas by the age of 55 or 60, 1 in 5 women will have it. So it's much more common in women in general, and also certainly much more likely as women are younger. But when we get older, we definitely see a thyroid slowdown in both genders.
Fascinating stuff. Well, I know, Mary, we're just about out of time here. What is your website?
My website for information on menopause and thyroid is www.menopausethyroid.com. And people can also visit me at thyroid-info.com, which has more general information about thyroid disease.
Okay, thyroid-info.com, which is more detailed towards thyroid disease. And then menopause?
Menopausethyroid.com, all one word, menopausethyroid.
T-H-Y-R-O-I-D, thyroid.com. And that gives you two sites to go to. This is so significant because in today's world, again, since we're living longer, we need to be more proactive. We have such an upheaval with medical situations and environments at this time, and it gets so frustrating. But if you take the time to invest in yourself, Mary's giving you some wonderful information about blood tests to take. This is something that empowers you as an individual. And I'm so grateful, Mary, that you've been a guest on my show today, because this is something that many women would not even give a consideration to. I don't know of many doctors that do.
Well, absolutely, and that's part of the message I'm trying to get out to women, too, is, you know, think thyroid. If you're in the age where you assume it's menopause, you definitely want to think thyroid, rule it out. Make sure that your thyroid is in good shape as you're moving through your 50s and beyond, because it's really going to keep you in good stead as far as energy, health, hormone balance, heart health, weight, and all of the many facets of our good health as we get older.
Well, I'll tell you, it has really been an eye-opener, and it's brought so much to my attention that I'm very grateful. In fact, I had someone call me a week ago that was complaining, and she's in her 60s. She said, I'm losing my hair like crazy. And the first thing I asked her is, have you had your thyroid checked? And she said, well, yeah, and I came in normal. I said, do you know what normal is on your test? So I'll be talking with her more, and of course she's going to learn about your book, but I really think sometimes we just honestly don't know what questions to ask. This is a whole new level of knowledge.
Absolutely, and unfortunately in today's world of 7-minute doctor appointments, it really is incumbent on us to learn the questions and to understand the issues, because oftentimes we're going to be the only one who's really looking out for our health and asking those questions and insisting on those tests that we may need.
Absolutely. Mary Shoman has been my guest. Her last name is spelled S-H-O-M-O-N. Her two websites, one is menopausethyroid.com. The other one, thyroid-info.com. Both good sites. Check them out. It'll give you a lot of thoughtful information, and you can follow through and take some of the tests that she recommended. But her book, The Menopause Thyroid Solution, is something you could have in your library to refer to also if you needed it. Mary, thank you again for being my guest today.
Thank you, Donna. It's been a pleasure.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hello and welcome back. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open, and you're welcome to call in and chat with me if you so desire. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. I'll give you information and details, lighting up your life with a little bit of insight. And then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question that's of interest to you. The telephone number to call into is 888-815-9756. That is 888-815-9756. I wanted to mention again, and you're going to hear me mention this until I reach my goal, and that is having 100 stories collected about the paranormal and unusual experiences that have been yours. I want to hear your story. I would like to know if you've had particular precognitive dreams, if you've seen ghosts, anything that has affected your life in a very, very profound way. If you've found that you had something lost and you found it, you know, all kinds of information like that. I'm putting together a book. I really would like to hear your story so that your story could be included in this book about the paranormal. So if you'd like to do this, send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com and be sure to put in the subject line, Story for Donna's Book, or the equivalent thereof so that I can identify it. Again, send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Because that's important. I've got a couple of shows coming up this month. There may be some more scheduled, but I haven't gotten the dates confirmed yet. June 20th, which is a Sunday, I was talking with the talk show host, Susan. We're going to be on Bipolar Nation Radio Facebook. You can pick it up there, or you can go to latalkradio.com. And we'll be going on at 11 in the morning, and the show will be on for an hour. And if you wanted to call in and chat with me while I'm doing the show, you can do that. The call-in number is 323-203-0815. So that's 323-203-0815. between 11 and noon on Sunday the 20th. And then on June 27th, which again is a Sunday, I will be doing an interview with Denise Barnes, who is the host of the talk show Differences. It's out of Nashville, Tennessee. The station is WVOL1470.com, and I'll be on at 3:30. Now, that's Pacific time. Both of the dates that I've mentioned, it is going to be on Pacific time, as I mentioned, 3:30 in the afternoon for the 27th and 11 a.m. on the 20th. And again, there's just that opportunity to interact if you so desire. So I wanted to give that to you. Our guest coming up, by the way, give me a call if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Jerzy Gregorek. This is a person that is a phenomenal athlete. We're going to be discussing the happy body. And this is significant because just as we were talking today about menopause and dealing with certain aspects of health, we want to do the best for our chassis that we possibly can. And when you take care of this chassis, it is going to serve you well. So being educated about what you can do for yourself really helps. And we're all different. Some things may be more important for you than it is for me. Then on Thursday, we're going to have William Powers. He's my guest. We're going to be talking about his experience of living in a room 12 by 12. It's not a lot of space, but it transformed his life and his thinking. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Mary Barton. We're going to be talking about soul sight. So those are some very significant people that are going to be on the air with us. And of course, if you ever want to check out, find out who's coming up on the show, you can always come right here to the BBS Radio Spot, Station 1, and click on the Donna Sebo Show, and you'll see all of the write-ups about the various guests that are going to be coming on. So that is what's coming up for you. I wanted to share something with you today on sort of a personal note. We have periodically given out information on the show about security. Well, I'm pretty conscientious about this, but on Monday of this week, I had the fraud department of a bank that I work with contact me, and they said, "Your account has been compromised. Call us immediately." So this was quite a surprise, and I end up calling them, and I find out that somehow someone has hacked into my accounting system at this bank. The fraud department was just wonderful. They were just absolutely correct. Somebody had tried to process $1,100, you heard me correctly, $1,100 through my checking account. Well, that was so abnormal. And what it was, they were saying this was an electronic bill pay. Now, I don't have any electronic bill pays on my checking account. Now, the reason I'm sharing this with you is because the fraud department gave me some phenomenal information. And I'm going to share it with you because I think you need to know. This goes for any bank, any lending institution. And if you're like me, sometimes you'll go in electronically, you'll check on your account, you've got your password, you've got all this stuff, and you think everything is secure. It isn't. What I learned from the fraud department is when you go in to access information on your checking account, your savings account, any kind of electronic transfer with a financial institution of any kind, you want to make sure you do not use a search engine. In other words, most of us, which is what I was doing, you have Google or you have MSN or you have something that pops up, has its little box there, and you just go in blankety-blank.com for your bank, right? That's what I do. Now, when you do it, if you notice, there's a little window that pops down. This is a window that will save everything that you use on a regular basis if you want. So you just go and scroll down, click, and there you go, and right there, you're right at the site. Don't do it that way anymore. I have learned that there are viruses, and they're Trojan horse viruses, and they can be called all kinds of names. And if you have a good security system on your computer and you need to make sure you do a deep scan on a regular basis. They may pick this up. But these are so sophisticated as systems, even if it's picked up by your spyware, you're going to find that they may already have access into your account system. It's that fast. It happened within just a matter of hours, all of these things I'm talking about, just 2 days ago. Or no, yesterday. It wasn't 2 days ago. It was yesterday. So when you have this, where it has the drop-down menu, you need to disable that, number one. You need to erase all of that information. Because even if you're not using it, the sophisticated system can get in, and if you go in to do something like a MapQuest or whatever, that's automatically dropping down. This stuff is electronically channeled. It's doing this to millions of people. It'll link into that. They have a virus, a worm that will come in, and that's what happened to me. So if you're going to go and get access to your electronic information, if you want to do this with any financial processing of any kind, do not use a search engine. Go to the address box that's up at the top of the screen, and you use that. You have your http://:// You just put it in there. Do not use that search box. Also, do not bookmark any financial institution, because again, these people that develop these systems will find the bookmark every time you open it up, and they'll access it. Remember, they've got this sophistication where they're able to just run this stuff 24 hours a day, and they're just out, it's just out there seeking like you wouldn't believe. Another tip, if you go in and you find, here you've got your bank, your, you know, lending institutions page in front of you, you're going to enter in your username, your password. If they ask you for your PIN number, that's a fraudulent site. The lending institutions do not ask for your PIN number. That's a red flag. That's so very, very important. And you need to realize that this is not a joke. Again, this happened to me just yesterday. It was just absolutely amazing, the sophistication of the system. When we went into our security software, we found in quarantine yesterday this information about a particular virus. Now, that was eliminated. But you will have to go into your bank, close out all of your accounts, and open up brand new accounts, because once they have had an access into your account, they will use it again and again. The fraud department that I spoke with said you must take care of this immediately. Any credit cards associated with that account, anything at all, it has to be destroyed, because they will go back maybe at a later date. They've got you tabbed, they have you tagged, and that is the way it is. Now, I was in the bank today opening up new accounts. I was talking with this young lady who was processing all of this, and she said, it is rather scary. She didn't know about some of the things that I was discovering relative to security, that we have to be aware of, that there's all this stuff that's going on behind the scenes that we haven't a clue about, and we think everything's safe and secure. In this year, her credit card, she has had it compromised. It's been literally stolen from her 3 times. This is a woman that works at the bank. And it never, ever was out of away from her purse. It wasn't stolen like the actual card. And what they've told her is, if you are at a restaurant, go up to the counter and pay at the counter. Because if you pay at the counter, just don't give it to your server. Because there's people that are taking photographs of credit cards, or they do imprints of them, and they save them, and they take them away. And she said they also know of people that with their cell phones are taking photographs of the cards that people are using. So you have all of this stuff that's going on. We really do have to pay attention. There's a lot of things that don't go on, you know, don't affect us. But you need to be aware that there are those people out there that are extremely sophisticated. So since this just happened to me, I wanted you to know about it, because you need to be informed, and I hope that maybe it makes you aware of how to better utilize your computer, because if you're like me, you like doing the electronic stuff. Be very careful. Be very careful. And if you don't believe me, check with the fraud department of your financial institution and find out the steps that you should take. Ask them if what I was told was the truth. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. You're welcome to give me a call at 888-815-9756. We're going to be back with more good things in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, I've got some more of the summer horoscope available. There are four signs that I haven't covered so far, and that's Virgo, Capricorn, and Aquarius, and Pisces. So what I thought I would do is a couple today and a couple tomorrow. And let's go with a Virgo. And by the way, if you want to give me a buzz, 888-815-9756. If you're under the sign of Virgo, you're going to be giving a lot of personal attention to someone that you really means a lot to, very, very close individual. And you're going to find that you really want your environment on a personal level to be settled, and you want as little stress as possible. And then when it comes to career, by golly, you've got some major changes that are going to be coming in. You're going to find that you really want to plan things out very carefully with your financial program for this year, and you are going to be deciding that you really want to pay attention to your money, how you spend it, how you're going to be able to make it grow. So money's going to be a significant focus for those of you under the sign of Virgo. And during the summer, you're going to enjoy summer, whether you're traveling or not. You are going to say, I'm going to make sure that whatever I do is something that I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy. So it isn't so much spending money with you. It's doing something that really is meaningful. Now, for those of you under the sign of Capricorn, you are going to be very much involved with family. You're going to find yourself working with extended family, too. You are going to have this interactive relationship with people, and you're going to be spending more time on a social basis than maybe what you had anticipated. And when it comes to money, you're really going to be able to reach some pretty good goals for yourself. You're very thorough, you're very conscientious when it comes to dealing with money anyhow, but you're going to give it specific attention, and it's going to pay off for you. Traveling, well, you're going to find that you're maybe going to be interested in some long-distance excursions, but it's almost as if you want to make sure that you have everything in order around you in what you're doing, and that is going to mean a lot to you as a person. So just sit back, relax, and Capricorns are notorious for not doing that. They usually like to be involved with just about anything and everything, so be wise. Just know you can have fun, you can be practical, but don't be afraid to be adventurous, too. So tomorrow I'll be sharing, well, the other signs of the zodiac that are left, and that'll be Aquarius and Pisces for your summer horoscope. A few things about how you can have your own natural drugstore right in your backyard, or maybe you live in an apartment, maybe you have a little balcony, you can grow these things right on you, those, right in those little boxes. Chickweed is something that, this is a beautiful little plant, it has a wonderful white flower to it. But you know what? It's an amazing antihistamine. And what you can do is, if you have real sensitivity things, it has been used by the Amish to relieve itching situation, bee stings, bug bites, and it's actually, if you have any kind of space, like ground cover, it makes wonderful ground cover. And all it needs is moist soil and in a shady spot. It really likes shade, which here in the Pacific Northwest would be just terrific, and it grows rather fast, so it can cover area very, very easily and very quickly. And poison ivy, oh my goodness, that is something that fortunately most of us don't experience very often anymore, but it is out there. Well, if you have impatiens in your yard, which is a beautifully colorful annual, has anti-inflammatory agents within it, that puts the irritants from poison ivy and poison oak pretty much in the back seat. And there's an extract that you can buy, that's made from impatiens, and it's just absolutely amazing. And they say within 24 hours, it's like 95% of the people use it. When you're coming in contact with things like that, that is something that it just takes care of it right away. And if you're growing it in your yard, if you have some kind of skin irritant, you just slice the stem and rub it, the inside of that stem, on the exposed area, or you can boil it, make a tea out of it, freeze it in ice cube trays. Whenever you get a rash or you get a skin irritation, you can put it over it, and you got your natural remedy. And of course, we all know about aloe vera, which I swear by. It's wonderful for burns. It's great. There was a woman that I met from Jamaica many years ago, and with her, she found from her mother, who was an English woman, that if she had aloe vera, if she had the pulp from aloe vera leaves on a regular basis, she said, you'll never have a bad complexion and you'll always enjoy good health. When I met this lady, she was in her late 60s. Her daughter was in her 40s. Both of them were wrinkle-free. They were just gorgeous women. And she said, it's a very simple thing. So the aloe plant is absolutely amazing. And, of course, it's the gel on the inside. And it has particular plant sugars in it that just do wonderful things for burns and irritations of all types. Now, an aloe plant, when you make it, you know, you plant it. If you're like me, in the Pacific Northwest, they don't especially like the weather here because we have so much dampness, and you would have to grow it on the inside. But if you're in California or Arizona, New Mexico, any of the drier environments, it just grows like a weed. I've seen them where they're like 6 feet tall, so it's absolutely amazing. They don't need a lot of water because they're a succulent, but if you are in places where your weather is weird, like here in the Pacific Northwest, you don't want your aloe outside, you want it inside. And you don't need to water it very often because it doesn't need a lot of water. It'll rot at its base. But just bring it indoors when the temperatures get cool. And geraniums are my favorite. I always have gobs of those around here because they just do fabulously here in the Pacific Northwest. And do you know what? The geraniums they have found are one of the flowers that regulates hormones that release anxiety and irritability. Also, and this one's a big one, mosquitoes hate geraniums. It helps to keep those nasty pests away. Low maintenance, you can put them just anywhere, and they don't need a heck of a lot of water to survive either. They've done such a wonderful job at developing these plants. Well, just a little bit of knowledge there, nutritional knowledge, not a little bit nutritional, but more in the area of wellness, and I hope that you enjoyed that. This is Donna Sebo. Remember that there's a lot going on, and, hey, summer's just around the corner. You want to be sure you take care of yourself and that you're going to be ready and aware of the things that are going to make your summertime totally pleasurable. If you're going to be traveling, try to get your reservations and other things in order in advance. And there's a lot of terrific specials, so be sure you shop around because traveling can be so much fun. And if you set your schedule out, it's just going to be absolutely wonderful for you. Well, I know we are almost out of time here. Don't forget, Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the happy body with Jerry Gregoric. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. I'm so delighted you were able to join me today. Have a fabulous day, and we'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.